Thank you, Emma, for leading our prayers this morning. Last week, we heard how Jesus appeared to his disciples on the evening of that day when he was raised from the dead. And there was someone who wasn't there with them at the time, Thomas. And Thomas was not there, and Thomas did not believe at first that Jesus had risen from the dead. And then last week we heard how everything changed for Thomas when he met with the risen Lord, and he was able to say, "My Lord and my God." And now we're going to be reading from John's Gospel, chapter 21, as we continue in that account. And John 21, we are with the disciples again. They have returned from Jerusalem to home territory. They have returned to doing the thing that they felt comfortable doing, that they felt safe with, returned back to fishing on the lake. And so let's hear from John chapter 21, the first 14 verses. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and then you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Lord, we thank you for these words that we can read, but may they not just be words on a page, but may your words speak into our hearts and into our lives. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen. Amen. It was Simon Peter who suggested that they should go fishing, as it often was. He was the ideas man. And maybe they hoped that things would just settle down and get back to normal again. Just like the old days when they used to make a living with those same fishing boats on the lake. And like so many times before, they set out onto the lake. It was night time, and they often fished at night, and that wasn't an unusual thing, and it just meant that the fish could be brought in and sold early the next morning, ready for the market and ready to be sold on to people. So night time was a good time to fish, but not that night. They caught nothing. And then early in the morning, as they make their way back, no doubt disappointed that things hadn't gone quite as they had expected it to go, they see a stranger standing on the shore. A stranger who calls out to them, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," comes the response. The stranger says, "Well, throw your net on the other side of the boat then, and you will catch some." Now, I wonder if any of you have ever tried telling a fisherman what to do. Let me suggest to you, next time you're walking along by the reservoir or the fishing lake or by a river, then find a fisherman with all his rods, his hundreds of pounds worth of rods and nets and gears and floats and bait and everything, all this high-tech gear he's got, and find this fisherman with years of experience fishing, man and boy, and tap him on the shoulder and suggest that he casts his lines some other direction. And then you come back and tell me how he reacted. Well, we don't know, do we? We don't know how Peter and the others reacted when this stranger on the shore told them to cast their net. We don't know what they thought, because sometimes we don't like being told to try things in a different way, do we? We like things to stay the same. We like our comfort zones. We like things that we're comfortable with. So we don't know what these fishermen thought, but we do know what they did. They listened to the advice that they were given. And they did. They cast their net on the other side of the boat. And when they tried to haul it in again, it contained so many fish that they can't lift it. An enormous catch. And then they struggle to make their way back to the shore because of the catch that they've got. And as they draw nearer to the shore, they recognize who the stranger is. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. You know, perhaps their minds went back to 3 years earlier when once again they had been out fishing, some of them. And you can read about that in Luke chapter 5. Once again, they had been out fishing all night and caught nothing. And on that occasion, Jesus climbed into the boat with them and said, "Let down your nets." And that time when they did, they let their nets down, and they caught so many fish on that occasion that the net began to break. That was the same day when Jesus said to Simon Peter, "From now on, you're going to catch men, not just fish." And that was the day they left everything and followed Jesus. That was the call that Jesus gave to them at the start of their journey. And it was the call that he reminds them of now at this point in their journey. Here he was with them again. After all that they'd been through, after all that they'd experienced together, Jesus was with them again, still leading them, still guiding them, still calling them to listen to him and to follow him. It's all too much for Simon Peter, and he just wants to be close to Jesus. So he jumps out of the boat into the water, gathering his clothes up around him as he goes. He wants to get to Jesus as fast as he can. And the other disciples are not far behind, towing the boat and the net behind them. When they get to the shore, Jesus is there and he has things prepared for them. The fire is there burning. There's fish already cooking for them. There's bread ready to eat. And Jesus said to them, bring some of your fish. Bring some of your catch. And Peter drags the net ashore. And we're told that there were 153 fish in the catch. Now, you know, there's been a lot of speculation over the years about what that means, that there were 153 fish. And you can read endless suggestions in the Bible commentaries, and they're all interesting to read. You might want to go away and read some of them sometimes. And commentaries suggesting that there were 153 species of fish in the sea at that time. So it means that the gospel message was for everyone. That's one of the theories that was there. Difficult to determine whether that's actually true or not, whether there were 153 species, but there's all sorts of ideas and all sorts of theories about it. Let me this morning suggest a radical idea about why John records 153 fish in the net. It's because there were 153 fish in the net. They counted them. Because, you know, that's the kind of thing that fishermen do, don't they? If you know anyone who's interested in fishing, they'll be able to tell you exactly how many fish they caught and how big they were. That's right. And they'll be able to tell you everything about it. The species they caught and the weather, what it was when they caught them. That's what fishermen do. And on that day, by the lake in Galilee, somebody counted the fish. And boy, that was a catch worth remembering. They were never going to forget how many fish were in the net that day. A catch that would have normally have broken the nets. A catch that was only made possible because Jesus was there with them. Only possible because they followed his word and his plan for them. You know, verse 12 of John chapter 21 contains probably one of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible. It says this, Jesus says to them, come and have breakfast. What a wonderful verse of scripture. Come and have breakfast. And what a wonderful breakfast that must have been that day. I've had some pretty good breakfasts in my time. I enjoy a good breakfast. But how about this breakfast prepared by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords there on the Lake of Galilee by the shore? God's only son cooking breakfast for his friends. All that they'd been through together, all that they experienced, all the times that those disciples had let Jesus down and turned away from him. But still he says, come on, come and have breakfast with me. Let's eat together. Jesus was there with them. He had risen from the dead just as he said he would. Everything that Jesus said could be trusted. Everything he said was true. Jesus took the bread and he gave it to them. Just as he had taken bread in that upper room a few days earlier and said to them, this is my body broken for you. Just as Jesus had taken fish on a hillside in front of 5,000 hungry people and shared it with them, Jesus was sharing fish with them. It was the same Jesus, because his work was going to continue. Death and the grave had been defeated. Jesus was alive, and they were not going back to their old ways. Jesus was inviting them to continue the story with him. Jesus was with them. They were with him. They were gathered round the fire, sharing stories, looking forward to what was to come. You know, I was at the church building here on Monday evening, and as I approached the front door, I could smell burning, and I thought, "Whoops, there's a problem here." I could smell smoke in the air. And I got a bit worried at first. And so I came round the building and went down the side here and went round into the back garden. And all was explained, because there, sitting on the grass at the back of the church, were the older members of the boys' brigades that were there with Marilyn. And they were there together, sitting around a fire pit, toasting marshmallows and sharing stories together. And as I saw that, and as I had this passage of from John 21 in my mind at the time, I've been thinking about it during the day, I thought, as I looked at them sitting around the fire, sharing their stories and laughing and encouraging each other together, I thought, what a wonderful picture that is of what the church is called to be. Sitting round the fire with Jesus, enjoying his presence, sharing his story, and eating together. What a wonderful picture of the church. Sharing stories of when we did that challenging thing, when we were ready to do things in a different way. And everything worked out okay, because we could say, it's the Lord. That time when we thought we were going to achieve nothing, we thought we were going to come back empty-handed, but Jesus was with us, and the nets were filled, because it's the Lord. Stories of those times when you jumped into the water, not afraid to get your feet wet, not afraid to risk something, because it was Jesus, because it's the Lord. Eating and sharing and laughing and crying and living and learning together in the presence of Jesus. Sharing our stories of Jesus, stories of hope, stories for eternity, stories that say time and time again, it's the Lord, it's the Lord, and everything will be okay. Perhaps that image of Jesus sharing with his friends is around the fire is for each one of us, to know that each one of us is invited into that same space, that same place with him. He says to us, come and have breakfast. Let's share our stories together. And we can declare together, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as you stood on that shore, you looked out to your friends. You saw them in that boat and you knew the things they were struggling with. They didn't know what the future would be for them. Perhaps lacking direction, not knowing the next step to take. And you spoke to them, you guided them, and you welcomed them. You welcomed them to the shore. You fed them. You listened to them. You were with them. Lord Jesus, we thank you that it's no different today, that we can know your presence with us. And you call us to share in your story, Your story of bringing hope and a future to the world around us. Your story of forgiveness and redemption. Your story where everyone finds a place and a welcome. Lord, you said that you stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears your voice and opens the door, that you will come in and eat with them and they with you. Thank you for that invitation that you give to us. Lord, please help us when sometimes we're reluctant to try things in a different way, when we're reluctant to jump out of the boat, even when we doubt that you can fill those nets. Forgive us for that, Lord. But help us again to see you and to know you and to be able to declare as your people together and say, it's the Lord. And Lord, we thank you. Amen.